Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts 10, 44 through 48. Listen for the word of God. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out and even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, we have had a chance to speak to you the joys and the concerns of our hearts. Now open our hearts to receive the words that you would speak to us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Throughout our lives, we never outgrow our desire to know where things come from. When we are children, there is that age-old question, where do babies come from? As we grow older, we may ask, where does love come from? Where does hate come from? Where do these strange ideas that other people have come from? In today's sermon, we're going to entertain the idea of where faith comes from. That's more than just a rhetorical question, and it doesn't really have an easy, quick answer. It is a question that many of our young people ask. And as is so often the case these days, they often go to the internet and social media to explore the answer to that question. There are many ways to think about and learn about what faith is, and they don't always come from biblical sources. However, there is much in the Bible about faith, and that is where we're going to concentrate our efforts this morning. The origin of faith is explored in all four of the Gospels, in Paul's letters to the early churches, and in John's letters. Listen to 1 John verses 5, 1 through 5 for what John has to say about faith. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The underlying question is whether faith is created by human beings or whether faith is given to us by a supreme being. I recently read a research study that suggested that ideas about faith and where faith comes from come increasingly from the internet. That started back in the 1990s when a very large portion of the adult population began using the internet to explore and get information. The author of the research study noted findings from other studies showing that the current generation, which has experienced an explosion of technology, tends to surf the internet for information about spirituality, and that they tend to use social media more to learn the thoughts of other people about faith than previous generations did. He commented that young people have developed a tinkering attitude, and some of you who are much more familiar with technology than I am probably understand that phrase better than I do, but that tinkering attitude is a kind of ingenuity and creativity that results from using technology. For example, he noted that people who use computers and are encouraged to tinker in simulated microworlds. This tinkering attitude carries over into other areas of life, and the study suggests that applied to religion and faith, it has to do with faith being fluid and ever-changing. As we tinker with it, we add, we subtract, we alter, depending upon the information that we have found and depending upon what other people have shared with us about other faith traditions. Meanings of faith no longer come just from houses of worship and sacred writings. The secular world makes a sizable contribution to our understanding of faith. Depending upon what people read and what discussions they have with other people who have different beliefs, the subject, meaning that in which we have faith, can change. For a time, faith may be in one's own transcendent spirituality. It may be in the Judaic, Christian, Muslim God, or it may be in one of many gods that have been worshipped in the past, in the present, or may be created to be worshipped in the future. Or it can be professional success, financial success, financial security, other aspects of secular culture. It depends on what makes sense and feels desirable in the moment. In this scenario, faith is primarily an intellectual endeavor, but emotion does factor in as we consider an understanding of faith that helps us feel the way we need to feel in the moment. Clearly, this method of exploring faith has to do with creating our own faith. But is it really faith if it keeps changing? If it keeps changing to fit each new bit of information that we take in, or each feeling that we have from time to time, is that what we mean by faith? Is faith a jigsaw puzzle for which we are seeking additional pieces to complete? Perhaps it depends on how we define faith. If we define faith as a way of understanding what makes the world go round, what makes my life the way it is, then very possibly we do create our own faith. But that is not the kind of faith that John talks about in his gospel or in the letter, the passage of which we just read, John talks about not only believing, but experiencing that in which we have faith. In John's definition, we believe Jesus is the Messiah that God promised the Old Testament prophets that he would send. And we experience within ourselves the love of the living God. Christian faith is not an idea that we have synthesized from a variety of sources. Christian faith is in a living being. Christian faith does not involve just heads and emotions. It involves all that we are, our whole selves. Ideas and the way we understand them are where our heads come into the picture. But our spirits also experience faith. Our spirits come into the picture. The way we understand our faith, the way we understand God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit may change as we grow in our faith, as we mature. But the subject, the what of our faith, does not change. John makes some interesting claims about Christian faith. And here you might want, if we're not still up on the screen, which is okay, you've got the scripture, the sermon text in your bulletins. You might want to pull that out because we're going to take a look at how sentences are written. In that first sentence, it could imply that first we believe and then we are born of God. But look carefully at the verb has been. The person who believes has been born of God. We may initially look at the passage and say, if someone believes in Jesus, then that person is born of God, as if believing precedes birth in God. But we all know the ability to believe does not precede being born. If-then philosophy is not the basis of John's claim. He does not use if-then terminology. What if John had phrased his sentence this way? Everyone who has been born of God believes Jesus is the Christ. Everyone who has been born of God believes Jesus is the Christ. That is also an accurate way to write that sentence. My guess is that we would understand his point much differently. Put this way, God is the first cause. God gives us spiritual birth, and we believe Jesus is the Messiah. That belief is not just an idea that we thought out. It is a truth known by virtue of being born of God. Birth and belief come at the same time. They come together. And love follows right along with birth and belief. In the same sentence, John says, everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Now, look carefully at the construction of that first sentence. Everyone who believes has been born of God, and everyone who loves. John does not say, then everyone who loves. He uses and. These three verbs, born, believe, love, are all tied together. When John says that everyone who loves the Father loves the child, he does not think of Jesus as the child. Jesus is never called a child of God. Only human beings are referred to as children of God. God makes us children of God, and by virtue of that birth, we believe and love. And we love not only our Father in heaven, but each other as well. Now, it is important to note that we are born children of God, not adults of God. That is so important. It sounds so simple, and it's not. We are not born adults of God. We need to grow in our belief and in our faith and in our love. That growth continues as long as we are on this earth. We are children of God. But we do not reach perfection while we are living on this earth. We are ever growing toward it. We are not stuck where we are, but we're not where we're going to be when we join our Lord in heaven. Growing in belief and love is not a result of physical growth, though it is similar to physical growth in that we need nourishment and guidance. We need the nourishment and guidance that come from time spent with God, time spent with God's Word, time spent in prayer, time spent with fellowship with other children of God, time spent doing the tasks that God gives us to do, time spent in the communion feast that Jesus provides. Such nourishment enables us to interpret the full meaning of what we read on the internet or anywhere else, and what we hear in the marketplace and even on iTunes. John stresses the importance of obedience as part of love. He says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. Obedience is embedded in the love we receive when we are born children of God. That love overcomes our human willfulness to go our own way, make our own plans, do what we want to do. But until love is perfected within us, we likely do not experience that triumph on a regular basis. I suspect we do experience it occasionally, hopefully frequently, but we're not at that perfect spot yet where we are always going to experience that triumph. There can be an ongoing battle within us between obedience in love to God and obedience to self-will. That battle plays out in faith communities too. For example, when one person wants one thing and another person wants something different, There is no faith community that is immune to that, because all faith communities are made up of human beings, children of God, though we are imperfect children of God, and that is true of every faith community on the planet. We do not all agree all the time. Thinking in either or terms means that someone has to give up so that someone else can have. And depending on what is at stake, it can be a little bit like the photograph in the newspaper of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the U.S. Navy ships faced the Russian Navy ships in a standoff, and they were waiting to see who was going to blink. Resolution within communities of faith is not a matter of waiting for someone to give in or blink. Resolution is found in a loving desire to understand the importance of the matter to the other person, and in each person wanting to find a way to help the other person have what he or she needs. Love shifts the focus of attention. Instead of the focus being on myself and how I can get enough power to get what I want and I need, the focus is on the other person and how I can help that person get what that person needs. It is a little bit like two hungry people facing each other, each having broken elbows that cannot bend, and a plate of food between them. The only way they're going to get fed is if they put the food in the other person's mouth. That is faith at work. That's our Christian faith at work. John closes this passage with a word about the relation between faith and the world. Look at verse 4. For whoever is born of God conquers the world, and this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. One of the greatest threats to our faith is the very different way the world looks at the meaning and purpose of Christ and his message. The world puts the focus of attention on very different ideas, and the temptation to be pulled in the direction of earthly power, self-elevation, and earthly wealth can be very strong. And people can find anything they want to find in Scripture to say, aha, see, it says it here. This is okay to do. It's been done for centuries. But remember John's words. Faith is the victory that conquers the world. Faith is the victory that conquers the world. He closes this passage saying, who is it who conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we come to the culmination of the way John defines faith. It is the sum total of being born of God, believing that Jesus is the Messiah, and loving God and each other. Faith comes from God. It is a gift. God nourishes our faith through our belief in Jesus and through the sacrificial meal that Jesus instituted. God also nourishes our faith through a reciprocal love between us and God and between each of us and each other. And so we have come full circle. We are born of God. We do believe Jesus is the Christ. And we do love God and each other. And through our faith, we do conquer the world's temptations. Thanks be to God for such an incredible gift, the gift of faith. Amen.